Good morning, everyone. This morning I'll be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pick up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. All he does prospers. Ecclesiastes says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. And Psalm 1 says that the righteous man is like a tree who bears its fruit in season. But this idea of times and rhythms and seasons is often lost on me. I want to say lost on us, but I know that this message is one that I myself need to hear this morning. So I'm going to be preaching to me, hoping that I am paying attention. But truly, this idea of times and rhythms and seasons is lost on me. It seems ironic, though, with the seasons of weather outside so clearly marked with snow and ice and frigid cold. I think we get summer in Canada, but I'm not so sure right now. We see seasons, though, of warm and rain, hot weather and thunderstorms, frostbitten weather and snow. They come and they go. They mean that we have different activities to partake in. They offer us different fruits and vegetables. We wear completely different clothing, depending on the temperature and conditions outside. Things from one season to the next are so strikingly different when it comes to seasons of the earth. But why do we not give allowances for striking differences like these during our seasons of life or seasons of the soul? I do not think that I'm alone when I say that busyness consumes. I do not like being busy, having my schedule packed so tightly that I'm running directly from one commitment to the next. But that's often where I find myself week after week. It's draining to a person to try and pack it all in, just like it's draining to your bank account trying to make jam in the middle of winter. Fresh berries are just so expensive in the middle of winter. They're out of season. And so when we try and do things out of season, I find that it just drains and drains. Things were meant for their seasons. And it's going to take discernment from God for each of us to determine what things are now in or out of season. The author, Henry Cloud, says it this way: what God is calling you to do tomorrow might require you to stop doing something today. I'll say that again. What God is calling you to do tomorrow might require you to stop doing something today. Because if we are not cognizant of this, then we are heading face first down the luge track at the Olympics towards disappointment and burnout. We will keep piling on more and more relationships and responsibilities and guilt and expectations, and you fill in the blank. I find myself becoming so busy at times that I feel completely useless at the end of the day, and that can't be right. This reminded me of Bilbo Baggins, character and faithful hobbit from The Lord of the Rings, who at one point says, "I feel all thin, sort of stretched, if you know what I mean, like butter that has been scraped over too much bread." And it's interesting, even looking at this analogy, because the image fits. I hate when I'm trying to spread cold butter over bread, and it doesn't spread. It lumps up and it tears holes in the bread. The obvious solution is that you need more butter, more time, more energy, more coffee. If you had more hours in your day or more hours in your week, you could get by. You could fit everything in that you've collected or accrued or gathered up to do. We've all said it, if I only had more hours in the day. But do we really believe that? If our days suddenly had 40 hours, do you really believe that you'd be any less busy? Or would those hours themselves then get filled up with further relationships and obligations and responsibilities? But here's where Bilbo's heart confession really strikes me, is that he did not complain about too little butter scraped over his bread, but butter scraped over too much bread. The butter is arguably the more valuable of the two, and it's the resource that Bilbo is trying to manage. What if instead of trying to scrape the resources we have over huge areas of life, we simply cut things out? Pruning is, after all, a biblical image, and it is something that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives today. He wants to prune so that we can experience new life, new fruit, more fruit, each in their season. We try and scrape the meager butter that we feel we've been given over what seems like an entire loaf of bread. And then we complain to God that we need more energy, more time. We need more, more, more. What if, and maybe this sounds crazy, but what if God has given us exactly what we need to accomplish His will each day for our lives? What if the daily bread that we were instructed to pray for cannot just be seen as the sustenance and provision for each day, but also as the tasks and areas that God wants us to direct our butter towards? I believe that if we were to give an honest reckoning before God of our time and what we have taken on in life to fill it with, that we would find areas that are not bearing good fruit and other areas that are completely dead. Those hollow, rotten logs do not need the sustenance that we are given each day. They need to be cut down in order to make space for new life and new growth. In my own life, I find that God directs me to different areas, different people, different ministry opportunities, as different seasons of life come and go. There have been many times where I struggle and claw at the previous things. I see an old Bible study that is struggling and waning, and I desperately want to try and restore it, to dump all of my time and energy into it in order to resuscitate it. And there are definitely times where the Lord wants us to do that, to breathe new life into old ministries or old relationships. There are times that He calls dead bones to rise. But there are other times that through no fault or sin or shortcoming of our own, that something withers and dies. We can try to recover it, but what if that's not what God wants? What if we really truly believed that His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts higher than our thoughts? It takes faith to let go of these things, to trust God with the people and the lives that are involved. But I believe that letting go is a pure act of faith when we are giving it over to His power and mercy. Sometimes when we let something go, we're just abandoning it to the wild, leaving the sick animal outside to fend for itself. That's not what letting go really is. Letting go is giving over, surrendering the people, the responsibilities, the ministries, the habits, the relationships, to the most capable person in the universe, our God. It is not stopping one bad habit only to gain another. It is about letting God prune our hearts and our minds of the dead and unfruitful things so that we can see the bright day ahead that he has prepared for us. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, "For we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Because if we have faith to allow him to prune, to surrender something to him that seems unfruitful, then we must also take up the faith that he will grow fruit elsewhere. That these good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do are going to bring us life, and that they are going to extend his kingdom. Remember that we do not bear fruit by our own persistent effort, or by striving more than our neighbor to do so. But instead, just as Jesus told his followers in John 15, we bear fruit when we abide in him. He is the vine, and we are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Nothing. Yet, we try and we strive and we push, and we falter, and then we blame him for not giving us the strength to get through it all. His grace is sufficient. His daily bread is enough. But what if we are trying to gather too much manna in the wilderness? If you remember, the Hebrew people, after being delivered from 400 years of slavery in Egypt, wandered in the desert for 40 years. Every day, God provided manna, bread from heaven, that would appear as the dew on the ground. And every day they were instructed to gather an exact amount per person in their family, and no more. When people gathered more, tried to store up for the next day, in the night worms came and ate the bread and it rotted. Some people did not trust that God was going to provide for them, so they took it upon themselves, gathering up more than the allotted amount. Because what if God doesn't give us manna tomorrow? What if he doesn't give us bread tomorrow? I better have more today. Are we any different? There are times where I take on too much, or I look to myself to provide instead of my Father in heaven, or I don't have the faith to believe that he knows best when something needs to be let go of. But I know and I believe that our gracious God does not chastise us in those times. For the Israelites, the worms came in the night and the bread rotted, and they had nothing left over. But as sure as the sunrise, there was the manna on the ground again. New mercy every day. God is faithful to provide, not only for the relationships that we will be spreading the resources to, but for the resources themselves. His mercies are new each day. Let's not miss today's opportunity to receive our daily bread, to see the good works that he has set out in advance for us to do, and through the power and working of his Spirit, to accomplish his will, producing fruit and bringing glory to our God in heaven. So today, if you are feeling like butter scraped over too much bread, I encourage you to seek the Lord. Perhaps there is an area, or maybe even several areas of your life, that he wants to prune. These don't have to be bad things. They could be good things that you're doing, but they may not be bearing fruit. They may be dead. So ask the Lord. Ask him to show you those areas. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to prune away the dead so that new life can come. He wants us to be effective for the sake of his kingdom. And we will be most effective when we abide in Christ and in faith, letting go of these things that we desperately cling on to. As Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, give us grace today, and may we receive our daily bread with open hands. Teach us in faith to let go of the things we should no longer hold on to, and show us what a life abiding in Christ truly looks like. May the Lamb receive the full reward for his suffering, as our lives bring glory to you. Amen.
Please stand and let's praise. Love. You bring light to the dark. are blessed this morning, go with God.